You're listening to Irish Radio Candidate Home to Rod, and that piece of music was Teanga na Gael, and that's what we're going to talk about on Teanga Beo, the living tongue. And when I was growing up, the Irish language was perceived somewhat negatively. It was a compulsory subject at school. And there were attitudes that painted those who had a love of the Irish language and who were what would have been described as Gaelgors somewhat negatively. And fortunately, in the intervening period, the attitude has changed greatly to the extent that there is a recognition that the language is very much a cultural identity. And it is also something that is very special and an integral part of our heritage. That's all very well when you live in Ireland. And, you know, even with the declining areas of Ireland that were Gaeltacht areas and the struggles that they have in the Gaeltacht areas to keep the language alive, what's so heartening is to see how the language is being encouraged, embraced and being spoken globally. And in Ottawa and across Canada, it's no exception. And there are regular what are described as pop-up Gaeltachts. And Grant McElargy is here with me. Grant, what I just said, would that be a reasonable introduction?
Oh, I think that would be great. Great introduction.
So, from the Cultus Ottawa perspective, I know you have pop-up Gaeltachts happening, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But there are also Irish language lessons being provided by Cultus.
Yes. Yeah. So, Cultus, we offer it on a term sort of basis. So, we offer a fall term, which is about 10 to 12 weeks, and then a winter term, which begins in January and runs until May. So, about 16 weeks. We offer a number of different levels, starting from absolute beginner to intermediate. If we occasionally have enough, particularly advanced learners, we can run an advanced course. But we try to run these as communally as possible and try to get anyone as welcome as possible, because it's really daunting to come into a language, particularly one that's not very widely spoken outside of the Gaeltacht. So we try to accommodate and accompany pretty much anyone at any level to try and get them learning the language.
What kind of numbers are you seeing, or what kind of response? And of the response and numbers, would the majority be maybe people from Ireland who had lost the language want to get it back, or would you get people who are totally new to the Irish language and anxious to learn, or both?
Yeah, we actually get quite a bit of a mix of both. So we do have several members who have come to the classes who are from Ireland, and they're trying to reconnect with that and trying to relearn that language as an adult, as well as people who are complete beginners, newcomers to the language who are just starting out or have done a little bit on their own, but are trying to, upgrade their learning, levels so that way they can, have a classroom environment to work in. This year, actually, we had the highest student numbers we've seen in quite a few years. I think one of the highest numbers, if not the highest. So we had, I believe, 19 students in total in the fall semester, and that's gone down a bit in the winter semester. But that's natural to see as people get busy and things in the new year come up. But this year has been quite great for our language program. We've seen numbers like we haven't for a long time.
Grant, I have to put this to you because I pick up on accents, and yours, I can't place the part of Ireland your accent comes from.
Well, I'm not actually from Ireland. I'm from Southern Ontario.
I was being facetious.
Oh, I know.
So what has attracted you, and how did you get hooked on the Irish language, and where did you start to learn?
Well, it's a bit of a combination of some family heritage, which I think is a really common reason for people who are from outside of Ireland, if they're part of the like global diaspora, they oftentimes find interest in the language. But additionally, I previously did a brief stint working at the Irish Embassy. And while I was there, I got to see, you know, a lot of the day-to-day business is run is obviously in English, but on the letterheads and a lot of the official correspondences, there's often bilingual or dual translated phrases. And I was just like itching to learn, like, what is this, you know, what does this exactly mean? Is it like, how does the grammar work? How does this function? Because I'm a bit of a language nerd and I've studied Russian and French before. So it just kind of naturally coincided with, you know, my presence at the embassy, my family heritage, and the opportunity that was presented by just being in Ottawa where courses were taught.
Given what you just said and your interest in language, and particularly that you had studied and learned Russian and other languages, the Irish language is not classed as an easy language to learn. So how did you find that process relative to your previous experiences?
Yeah, well, it's in a lot of ways, there's similarities and there's differences when you learn a wide range of languages. Most of what I've learned is Indo-European, and Irish is also an Indo-European language. So sometimes there's little small facets or words that are very similar, or you can, you know, if you look at them, they mutated from the same original root word, and that's really fun. But then other times there's just something that you see and it just completely confounds you. You have no clue where it comes from or what it could possibly mean. And I think there lies the challenge of trying to piece together, like, you know, with the knowledge you have, the knowledge you can get, and then also, you know, using that to try and, like, decode and decipher these messages in a language that you don't necessarily know. And I think for me, that's, you know, that challenge is part of the enjoyment, and it's one of my favorite parts of learning a language. But I know that it can be pretty tricky and frustrating for a lot of people.
So grammatically, then, likewise, the structure of language varies. So did you find much difference from your previous experience on the grammatical side?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I know that Irish is it's a verb subject object language as opposed to English, which is a subject verb object. So just the very basic sentence structure is fundamentally different. The way that words are placed are different, as well as like when you're trying to like figure out whether a word takes a shevu or an eru, and sometimes dialectically that changes as well. But I find the grammar itself is like this whole, just this puzzle that you have to piece together on your own. And I mean, I find formal study is really great for some of these fundamental basics. But one of the best ways to learn is just to brute force yourself to use it. And just, you know, even if you have to stitch it together with a couple English phrases, like coplifocal ascuelga is better than none, right?
Correct. So, and that brings us to the Pop-Up Gaeltacht, because as you said, you know, the challenge with the Irish language is it's not widely spoken. So you have to create an environment where people who are interested in speaking have that space. So you've done that.
Yeah. And I was, you know, I returned from Ireland this summer. I was in the Gaeltacht. I was in Carrara, with, you know, the Ireland Canada Universities Foundation, and I was able to get the scholarship to go and learn Irish in an environment where it's spoken natively and immersively. And just the value that I found in that was it accelerated my learning, you know, faster than I ever could have imagined. I was able to, you know, I spent a year of learning Irish before I went, and I'd say like most of my Irish came from being in the Gaeltacht, just simply because you're living and breathing it every hour of the day. Obviously, we can't do that in Canada, but we can try to increase at least to a bare minimum some level of just using Irish as a language, because languages are always about communication, and the best way to learn them is to use them, and the best way to use them is to speak with other people.
How did the native Gaelgori as Connemara react to Southern Ontarian coming in?
Well, I'd say they would have been surprised, but I think they were more surprised by the 11 other Canadians who were in the house with me. So we ended up, you know, it's, you know, living with the Benintes, like, and getting placed into a house, and for some reason 12 Canadians got placed into a single house. So there was a couple other from Southern Ontario, quite a few Newfoundlanders, as well as a crew from Nova Scotia and even a few from Alberta.
And you didn't deviate from your language. You never switched back into Canadian.
Well, I mean, we were a range of levels, and we had some people who were like almost total beginners to the language, and they were rock stars because they like really like started from a very low level and finished quite high because they were using it every day. But you know, obviously, when you're speaking with them, sometimes you have to communicate something important, so you have to speak to them in English. But I'd say like most of us made a pretty valiant effort to try and conduct almost every conversation in Gaeilge, if not, you know, using as much of the vocabulary as we could.
So bringing it to the pop-up Gaeltachts that you now have, how often, how regular, when, where, and does somebody who is not attending class or has very little, will they feel in some way welcomed, and will the doors be open? Will on Doris Bios Kiltagas, will on Cahir, Aaron Falcha, Don Dinna?
It's always going to be open door. I'm part of Qualtis, but I organize it independently. We offer it once a month, the last Tuesday of every month from 7 to 9 p.m. at Bridget's Well, which is along St. Patrick Street at the old St. Bridget's Church. We try to welcome anyone from any level. We do get, you know, ranging numbers from sometimes a pretty small, close-knit group of three, and that's usually other class members. But I think our highest, we had about 11, 12, maybe even 15 at one point. So there's definitely some interest there. And that large night, we had quite a few people from either like classes at the local universities, or just people who had an interest in the language had caught in word and came along. But we try to create an open environment where anyone can feel welcome to come, even people who don't know the language, people who just want to figure it out, because I know that it's hard to find a lot of Irish media here in Canada. So it's hard to learn what exactly is Irish. What does it sound like? How hard is it? Like, would I be interested? So we try to create like an environment where even people who don't know and just want to come and listen and try to start that learning journey are welcome to come.
Do you choose to put a topic on the table in order to encourage conversation? Because sometimes negative way, but if you create an environment that is in some way a laboratory or a false environment, it can be more challenging than if you actually put a bit of structure. So would you be inclined to introduce a topic and say, let's talk about?
Yeah, so, I mean, we sometimes have just sort of a roundtable discussion where we're talking about different subjects. Quite a lot of people who come to these pop-up Gaeltachts or to the courses, they're quite interested in Irish culture as well. So, you know, happenings in Irish culture, Irish politics, Irish sport, because a lot of the people who come are Canadian. Obviously, some of the Irish folks, usually they get their fill, so they want to talk about something else, like whether it's the weather or something that's going on in the United States at the moment. But I'd say that there's not really any pre-selected topics. I would say I don't try to force the conversation in a certain direction, but I do, you know, I do oftentimes try to read up on local or, you know, recent happenings or subjects in the news in Irish, because there's a few different Irish news sites. There's, you know, TG Cahir, you can always catch the news on that. And I try to brush up on some of the vocabulary, so that way I know a little bit more about what I'm talking about or how to express myself. But I wouldn't say we introduce like hard, you know, specific topics from meeting to meeting.
Right. Grant, I want to thank you for taking the time. Go to Mila Mila Market. And I will try and find time on the last Tuesday of some month when I'm not childminding or doing something else, and would love to come down and participate. I know one of the things I was conscious of many years ago was how easy it can be to lose the language when you're not using it. And then it's very hard to retain it also when you pick it back up if you don't regularly use it. And while I struggle a lot There's times when it becomes clearer, and that's the other thing I find with language is there are times when it might be crystal clear and there's other times when it's foggy, but having a place where you can keep it alive is so important. Gurumila Mahagat.
Yeah, Gurumila Mahagat, Christian. August, to falcha falcha row it if you choose to come out.